Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back. This is Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. Back at you once again. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
So, the last couple episodes, I think, has been really fruitful. We've had a lot of really interesting conversations. But because of that, we've actually looked back and realized that, you know, it makes some sort of sense. There's continuity. There you go. That's mm-hmm. the word. Continuity to it. So we're going to take a look at two things that we kind of mentioned. One of the things that we kind of joked around is that Lewis's power. Lewis's superpower is the ability to cancel any shows. You know, he kind of did an article or a podcast about the popularity of the Marvel TV shows on Netflix. And then lo and behold, a month later, it got canceled.
All of them.
Not just one.
He started watching Archer just recently, and that's why he's so proud of his phrasing and splooging left and right phrasing at that point also. And it turns out that Archer is his last season. We found out that Lewis's power has struck again. So Lewis, what are we talking about here?
We're talking about Deadly Class on Sci-Fi. This is the show that just debuted on Sci-Fi this last year based on a comic book from Image, about basically a class or a school full of assassins. It was starring Alana Condor from, I believe, in one of the Netflix movies, all the something or other. It's like a rom-com. And B.D. Wong.
B.D. Wong?
Sorry, we were just watching him. He was Wong in Doctor Strange. Oh, I was like, sorry. he was...
Him and his B.D. Jesus, man.
So it was a fun little show based on the comic book about a school for assassins based in the 80s, and yeah, Sci-Fi just canceled it. So now as of this time of recording, they are looking for a new home, and like Dennis said, my power struck again because I was literally writing an article about how I liked it and how the comic book was really solid. So I shouldn't have said that, because now that it's out there, I bet you the comic book's going to get canceled now. So, yikes. Sorry, Rick Remender. So hopefully your book doesn't get canceled, guy. My bad.
Did you watch Swamp Thing?
No, I did not. But I did hear that after a whole one episode, it got canceled. Yeah. But no, I did not see that.
You know what's
that.
Funny is, like, literally, like, I was just watching just regular TV and everything. Mm-hmm. And they were showing commercials for Swamp Thing. I was like, don't they know? I was like, if the show is streaming and it's canceled already, you can cancel the commercials. Like,
yeah.
It's not hurting anybody.
I mean, if they paid for it, I guess.
Yeah, like, I was going to say, did they get their money back?
I don't think they got their money back on the whole series after one episode. I was looking at the trailers for the TV show, and it didn't look appealing at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a fan of someone, like, the original Swamp Thing movies, I was really into those. And then, you know, only have a couple of comic books, but I was kind of looking forward to it because they kept a lot of the same characteristics about the main character mm-hmm. himself, and you know, then just unfortunately, no one else got to watch it. So.
Yeah, I think there's one episode. Apparently, I don't have the DC Universe streaming anymore. Thanks.
I thought there was only one episode.
Yeah, there's only one episode.
But I mean, it sounds like the other live action shows on the DC Universe app are pretty good. The Titans and Doom Patrol seem to be getting pretty good reviews. So I guess this is the exception, or maybe it just cost too much. Because I mean, like you said, like it looked good. You know, the Swamp Thing costume and the aesthetics look really solid. But part of me thinks like maybe it's the cost. Like it doesn't look cheap. Like, you know, kind of the same way in The Flash, you can only really do Flash things for, like, what, 5-10 minutes out of the whole episode? The rest is just talking of Barry and Iris and, you know, whatever.
Explaining his power.
Yes, and explaining that he needs to go faster.
Yeah.
And he's not fast enough.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, no, another speedster.
My arch enemy. Faster speedsters.
Wait, do you like The Flash?
Oh, me? Lapsed.
Okay, that's why it survived.
I did like Arrow, that's why it's canceled.
You were the biggest proponent of Arrow.
Yeah, it was for
it took a while, but your power kind of like slowly sleeped in there. The other thing, you know, kind of going along the lines of cancellations, you know, we kind of talked about the ideas of great finales, and Harold kind of mentioned that, you know, in a lot of ways, he's hoping that there is going to be a great finale that's coming up.
Yeah, because I mentioned in my segment that one of my favorite finales of all time was Parks and Recreation, and the continuing series.
Did you say finales?
Finales. Oh, finales. Yeah. Finales was Parks and Rec, and the continuation from the creators, the next series that they created after Brooklyn Nine-Nine was another show called The Good Place, which, you know, I had been very adamant about anybody who is ever going to listen to me do anything, follow this show because it's the most cleverly written and probably most heartfelt TV show that I've been in contact with since Parks and Recreation. And the creator of Parks and Rec and The Good Place, Michael Schur, made an announcement recently that the next upcoming season, which they're almost completed with, will be its final season. And he said, you know, this is exactly what he wanted. He wanted to go out around 50 episodes, and they're going out on their terms. So he's always had his own, you know, creative control, and them allowing him to finish out the series exactly how he wanted it to be planned out is exactly what fans of just good television and of this series is really excited about.
It's kind of interesting in that way where, you know, in our society there where, you know, it's kind of like Game of Thrones where people were clamoring for more. You know, it's kind of refreshing to realize that there's other shows there that actually has a vision of where they want to start, where they want to end.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of mentioned it earlier today that, you know, I kind of wish, and I think we mentioned it in this podcast before, I kind of wish that Cobra Kai is going to do that. Three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
After the third season, let go of it. You know, yes, we could do a lot more stuff on it, but I think if they're able to do it properly, it's going to be, you know, if they follow the way we thought that it would be good, I think it'd be a great finale. So it's good to hear that there's something like that. And I'm kind of hoping that Archer does something.
Or yeah. Else. Yeah, because, you know,
he better. Never mind. Or, wait, where are you right now on Archer?
Season 4. So I'm about halfway. Because I think there's 7 okay. seasons total. So
I won't spoil anything okay. then.
Thank you. All right. Thank you for not spoiling that. Appreciate that.
So awkward transitions, I yes. guess.
That's what we're working on. That's what we're doing today.
Speaking of awkward transitions, no, you know, earlier today, we, you know, Lewis, Harold, and I, we try to do different things. You know, we talk about the idea of the fanboy in the street where we try to try different things. And at no point in the history of this podcast have we actually been able to do something all three of us together. And have we? Like,
yeah, we did lots of stuff together.
Have we? Okay, we did
every
that
other
Comic-Con.
Convention except for today.
We did the Comic-Con.
We did two of them.
The LA.
And Long Beach.
Oh, Long Beach. Okay, yeah. Fine.
And then we went to the Alpine Village together.
Take that comment. Did we do the Alpine Village?
Yeah, but I don't drink. So technically, you guys enjoyed it more than I did.
Oh, okay. Well, you enjoyed putting on the boa head, the yeah. boa in the head, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Did we ever get the pictures from that guy?
Yeah, I posted it on
the Oh, that's right. You did. Sorry.
Well, there you go. So, never
Thanks,
mind.
Social media manager.
I guess I was being a little too overly dramatic there. But today was one of those exceptions, I guess, as Harold pointed out, that, you know, we actually got to do something at the same time or on the same day, kind of at the same time, but unfortunately, totally different places yeah. in LA. You know, Lewis went to.
I planned on going to the EA Play.
Oh, well, come on. That's spoiler right there.
Oh, sorry. My bad. Yeah. I went to the Hollywood Palladium for the EA Play event, a little event held by the company EA who produces, you know, the Madden games, FIFA, Battlefront, if you're into the first-person shooters. They're doing basically a preemptive E3. E3 is coming up this week. The Electronic Entertainment Expo. Yeah, got that. In LA. So I think there's a preemptive strike on their point so they can have like a little show on their own. So yeah, that's where I was going today.
And then Harold and I were able to go to Wizard World, we thought.
Yes.
And so, I think that's the funny part about this episode is that we had grand plans of where we were going.
Wow, well, I like where this is going.
None of it panned out at all.
Wow. It was something totally different. So let's start off with Lewis. You know, since you just came from, you're a little bit fresher
uh-huh.
in your memory. Harold actually got to take a nap first. Yeah. So kind of get out of there. So how did it go? And based on the spoiler that you just said, seems like it didn't go as well as you hoped it would.
Yeah, so, you know, Let me preface it a little bit. You know, everybody here has a social media presence. So this event came to my timeline on Twitter when they were advertising a free event. You know, that's exactly my price point. Free. Awesome. So, you know, you just have to book it in advance on their website, on the EA website. of course, volunteer your login, your Xbox or your PlayStation name, and they give you a ticket. So I said, great idea. And then, you know, I thought it was
Bring my kids.
Yeah, exactly. That's even the next part of this thing. It's like, that was a great idea. Let me add a plus one for my son. He loves video games. So, you know, we made a plan of like, let's go down to Hollywood. We get to try out the new Madden 2020 with Patrick Mahomes, Dennis's favorite fantasy.
Mahomes! By the way, I won this year.
Yes.
Shout out to your fantasy team. Shout out to Patrick Mahomes. Hopefully the Madden curse isn't, I don't know, so we'll see.
Crap, you're right.
Well, so we haven't even done our fantasy league yet, so anyway. So
I'm picking Kaepernick this year.
He's back. He's due this year, man.
It's gonna break out your role. I got it.
So, you know, so this afternoon, you know, my son and I drove down thinking it was going to be a great afternoon of just playing video games, getting to see a new venue. Like I mentioned earlier, it was going to be at the Hollywood Palladium right there on Sunset and Gower. We drove up. There is a literal line going around the entire block of Sunset Gower and the Hollywood Palladium. I'm in my car. I drive around. There's cops who have basically cordoned off that whole section, and the people, the line did not seem to end. My son and I circled in my car, circled the block twice. Didn't see an end to the line, and I didn't see any movement either. So I was just like, yeah, this is not gonna happen. Like, we tried to think, we thought about like, maybe we should park, maybe we should stop, maybe we should give it a try. But it looked like an endless flow of people trying to get into a free event. So, and, you know, I guess that's just how it is here in LA. You put the word free in front of a thing and people show up. So, yeah, we did not go. I had this grand plan of taking pictures. I am wearing my two fanboys in a casual t-shirt we were going to represent. But alas, no, I didn't even get out of my car in Hollywood.
No effort at all.
None at all.
What time did you head out there?
We headed we headed out around 2-ish or so. That was a bad idea, maybe, because the event scheduled from 9 to 7. So maybe in retrospect, maybe we should have gone earlier. But I was kind of revolving it around the fact that EA allowed us to basically RSVP for a little section of time to play Madden. So, you know, the only time that they had given us was 4 o'clock. So I'm like, all right, I told my son, we'll revolve our schedule on that, grab lunch, grab dinner, something else like that. But like I said, alas, no, because literally it felt like everything's downtown is locked down for video games. So
aside from the fact that they're cops or anything, did they dress up the Palladium? Did they do like...
I'm a total casual LA person. Like, my wife teases me that...
Even though you work there?
Thank you. Even though I could take...
Work for the city?
I work for the city. I could take two, you know, subway stops and I'd be there. She teases me because she said, oh, so the Palladium, you've been there before. No. It's like, how about the wheel turn? No. So the whole outside is dressed up. There's some huge banners that says EA, so you can't miss it. They are advertising their games, Anthem, like a first person shooter game, kind of like Destiny, as well as what was another game that they were playing? Apex Legends, a free to play shooter. So they're advertising that up and down Sunset as well. So you can tell it's a video game theme. From far, but yeah. So, like I said, it's like a calling card for everybody to come down.
Speaking of the Wiltern, Harold, didn't you perform there?
No, we did UCLA's PC in there in 1990s.
Okay. I knew we did something.
I've seen shows there before. Oh, okay. Also, we technically performed there.
Wow.
No, because when Lewis was asking me if I've ever been to the Palladium, I was like, yeah. And when he was saying that's where the event was, like in my head, I'm picturing it. I was like, Not the biggest venue,
right?
For,
yeah,
I mean, like, there's a reason why they have the LA Convention Center for big things.
For E3,
you have to pay a lot, or you have to be someone in the industry in order to get into E3. And for this, like, it's a free event. The access points just getting in is like pretty much just a single entrance.
Yep.
So that was always going to be trouble, and you know, parking in Hollywood just
always
stinks
garbage.
In general.
Yeah.
Like if you're trying to get to the Roscoe Chicken and Waffles a block away.
I hate you, because that's literally what we did.
Did you eat that?
Yeah. No, we circled it. I told Noah, Want to get some chicken and waffles? Sure. We drove around another freaking line. It's like, you know what? We're out of here. Screw you, Hollywood.
This is meant to free you.
I'm going to Little Tokyo. They love me down there.
What did you guys do instead?
We instead decided to go to Two-Bit Circus, which actually, if we were to ask my son, he had a great time. It was a much better afternoon because of it. Great little venue. I think maybe, go to that review instead of reviewing EA Play. But yeah, Two-Bit Circus in the Art District in downtown LA. Great little family-friendly venue up until 9 o'clock when it becomes 21 and older. So yeah, that's what we decided to do instead.
So, kind of going off with a Two-Bit,
that you said? Yes. Yeah, Two-Bit Circus.
Tallulah Circus. kind of talk about it. I've never been, so
what did you think of it? Two-Bit Circus, great venue, like I said. It's on San Mateo Street.
By the way, we're going to take a shot every single time Louis says the word venue.
Okay. If Harold was to drink
kombucha.
it's a place... Place. I have to change it up now. It's basically a converted warehouse where it's like a Dave and Buster's, but hipsterized through a hipster filter. So, all the games are custom to the place, but it is the old system of, you got to use a card to play any of the games. The nice thing about this, too, it is a full, functioning bar and restaurant as well. They have great food over there, too, not to mention just the games. Another addition instead of just Dave and Buster's, they also have escape rooms. They call them story rooms, I guess, so they're not scaring off the little kids. But they have story rooms where you can try to figure out puzzles and do that kind of thing. And not to mention, they have a very big section for VR games. So I was actually kind of impressed with that. So that one cost a pretty penny, but like I said, making something out of a bust of an afternoon. My son and I tried the VR games over there. Lots of fun, very involved. One of the days where I regret having glasses because I put the VR thing on my face and it smashed into my freaking eyes. So I was trying to have
my eyes are bleeding. You're using that as an excuse and why you're getting the low score?
Shut up. Yes. I know. Also, because the freaking games have the what is that damn thing that Dennis does? The y-axis is upside down, so you press down on the damn thing. you pull down on the controller, and the reticle goes out. I was like, no, opposite. Sorry, I was never classically trained in those kind of games. But yeah, so great spot, highly recommended. Kind of offbeat from everywhere else in downtown, so kind of far from the convention center, far from Staples Center, far from Dodger Stadium. So, it's a good little place to go to on the weekends.
So, is it Dave and Buster's style where you have to fill up your card and then you get to use it like that?
Yes, thank you for correcting me. Yeah. So, it is a card. You have to buy it there, activate it. You add, funds into it. And then every game, there's this denomination that you use to play it. That's how they hook you to, because there's never going to be a clear cut you zeroed out your card. There's always going to be a little bit left there, so that I got to come back, I guess. So yeah, that's how they do it. As well as the VR games, you got to use your card as well. The only thing they can pay out cash or card out of pocket are the escape rooms. I've done one, lots of fun. It was a cave-in theme. Highly recommend. I think you've tried one of the escape rooms there before, not yet? No. Oh, okay, never mind then.
We just rented we had one of the private rooms and we're just playing Beat Saber the whole time.
Okay. Oh yeah, that was a fun thing too. Like, I've never had the chance to play it before. Good game. Beat Saber's it's $10 to play, which is kind of sweet. But I think that's what I hate about those little charge cards, because you never know how much you've actually used until you just
boop. Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, I can play. And then anyway, next thing you know, you spent $50 on freaking video games.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Can you edit that before my wife hears it? Okay. Because I told her I only spent $20.
Bleep the nomination. But you're going to hear him just say, yeah, but I only told her we spent only $20. Now she's going to be like, he spent $21?
Yes. $21 exactly.
I'll edit and I'll go, 20.
Wait, when you say you played video games there, I don't remember playing video games. I played Street Fighter,
and that's it. Okay, yeah. You know,
that's a video game.
I know, but that's what I mean.
Okay, just checking.
Multiple, I played, that was the only game, and apparently no one there knew how to play Street Fighter.
Video games.
I think that's the thing about that place, too, is a lot of the games are... like almost I'm trying to think of the way to say it, but basically like they're family games. They're like they're no classic cabinets there. I think since you've been there, there's Street Fighter still, but they added NBA Jam. Ooh. So it's not like, so we've been to 82. This is another bar or barcade in Little Tokyo, which is a classic, like an arcade from the 80s and 90s, but with a full on bar. This one, the games are a lot more like family friendly fare. So you got like, you know, you got, ring toss games and arcade games, like where
carnival games.
Thank you. Like carnival games, basically, where instead of actual balls being thrown at balloon, you know, it's all electronic versions of it. So yeah, so those are the kind of video games you can look forward to.
Okay, well, that sounds fun. At least you were able, as you said, salvage a, yeah. A losing
a bust.
Of also, I heard that they just opened the Barcade in Los Angeles. So that might be a new place we need to check.
It's actually just called Barcade.
Barcade Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. There you go. Little on the nose, but all right.
I'm almost positive that Robert has something to do with that place, like his company.
You just call him Robert?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that his name?
Rob.
Rob?
Is that
Robert Benson?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just call him Rob because we're calling him.
Checking. Yeah. So the other thing is, like Harold and I could talk about, we went to Wizard World. And for those people who have never been, it's one of those, I wouldn't call it classic, but it's one of those mainstays.
Yeah, because Wizard is that old comic book magazine that's been around since the 90s.
And it's the slang that Anakin Skywalker tried to use and failed miserably. It wasn't Wizard.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were saying?
Anyway, go ahead.
No, so we decided to go over there. And when we parked, Harold and I were kind of looking around. We're like, where is...
Harold's shaking his head already. No, okay, I can't look. Wait, hold on. Go on.
Because the very first thing we see is this big, like, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Okay.
Like, two stories. Yeah. Two stories high.
Inflatable.
And then, so, as we walked in, you know, every other dude was wearing a, you know, the jumper and then a,
Proton pack.
Proton pack.
Wow.
Or, according to that random guy, the Ecto Blaster. So real quick, we were on our way out, and some random dad who goes, "Hey, this guy has an Ecto Blaster," and I kind of stopped and like, and I was about to say something, and then the guy with the proton pack goes, "Proton pack."
So, anyways, proton packs, lots of them apparently today.
Okay.
Like every other person.
No, not even every. It's every person. Except for you, me, and some other people who had no idea, like we did, that this was not a Wizard World Los Angeles.
Okay.
This was Ghostbusters Fan Fest.
Oh, okay.
The first one in Los Angeles.
Celebrating 30 to the day of, well, not today, as you guys are listening, but 35 years ago, Ghostbusters released into theaters. So, the day that
it
came
out. Was it 35 years
ago? Yeah, it's 1984.
Sweet mercy.
I did not
know.
Wow,
so, okay. So literally they were like, we have the exact date on a weekend, so we're going to throw a fan fest for it. And when we got in line, I was like, well, you know, maybe it's just a coincidence that there's a lot of Ghostbusters fans here.
And coincidence that there's a big Stay Puft Marshmallow.
Yeah, I thought it was, and when we talked to the guy, I thought it was two separate events.
Yeah.
Literally, we're trying to establish, is there a Wizard World convention?
Like and a comic book convention, yeah.
And is there a Ghostbusters fan fest going on at the same time?
Yeah. Because I had my money was already set aside.
Going
to look for like pops and stuff
course,
like that.
Of course,
so, I don't know.
But we first get in line, apparently the wrong line, but we had to get back in, whatever. We forget to get the free gift bag because we don't like lines again. Because
Harold doesn't like waiting.
Yeah, I was like, dude, there's 10 people. No.
a whole 10 people.
Yeah. Even an extra five minutes.
Yeah. And then the like other line was way longer. And I was like, damn, we should just come back. But, and so we get in there and it's Ghostbusters Fan Fest. And it's just awkward because it's like, you know, when you're not prepared for an event.
Yeah.
You think it's something else in your head. Like, I was like, okay. Regular comic book convention, automatically established in my head. And for a second, you get that kind of moment because they do have guests there that are non-Ghostbusters related. But those people
for some reason, Ash Ketchum's voice
is there. And
Lou Ferrigno.
Lou Ferrigno just hanging
out. He's in every convention.
And then like...
$50 for a selfie, dude.
Yeah, this is like, $50. But we were like... We get in the into the kind of convention part, and it's like nobody's in line for any of those people, but a random background extra in Ghostbusters, there's like 10 people in line for.
Wow.
So just to kind of picture in your head, and for Lewis, this is not a, we are not in a hotel room or a convention center.
Uh-huh.
We are in the Sony lot.
We are in the Sony movie studios.
Okay.
And it is an outdoor venue where you're just walking around and there's grass, well, fake grass, grass everywhere. There's stages and everything. It was pretty cool.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
One of the first sections there, as Harold kind of talked about, was just random people that had, you know, there was a person from Mallrats, or was it Clerks?
Veronica from Clerks.
Yeah, from Clerks.
Oh.
the voice of or maybe the body double for Michelangelo in the original Teenage Ninja Turtle live action movie.
Dennis is like, ooh.
But though, as Harold put out, there was a line for every single person that was involved in Ghostbusters. And of course, because it was a Ghostbuster fest. But, you know, so we get there. And one of the things Harold and I kind of started thinking was like, where are the boots? Like, where are the merch?
Yeah.
Like, there was hardly anything there.
Yeah. Oh. Interesting.
Like, there was Playmobil, a mobile or whatever. Yeah.
There was a Foot Locker
booth. Yeah, because you got in your bed.
There's a Foot Locker booth, by the way.
Okay.
And it was kind of awesome. If, two things. If I loved Ghostbusters more, which I do, but I'm not, you know, dedicating myself to shoes from that, like,
like $110.
Yeah, yeah. Like, ooh. If there were Terminator 2 shoes, like, if they had exoskeleton shoes, I'm buying the hell out of
those. Oh, yeah.
But, like, because it looks like Slimer, because it looks like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, not paying $100. Also, because they're K-Swisses. That's not my brand.
Oh.
Like, I'm sorry to be that
it's
kind
not
of
high school. It's
literally,
not high school
if you look at me right now, everything matches. I don't have any K-Swiss shirts. Socks, shorts. So that's sorry, guys. K Swiss representatives who are trying to like sponsor our show. It's not.
I love K Swiss,
but the box looked dope.
It looked like a ghost trap.
Oh, nice. So,
that's why Dennis was like,
I think you mean ecto trap.
Yeah, because we were thinking okay. I was thinking okay. The shoes are like $50.
Oh yeah,
I might buy these.
Uh-huh.
Mainly, like Dennis said,
for the box.
And I was like, and they probably have my size shoe because nobody, you know, over there has like, you know. And I'm like, when the dude said, oh yeah, these ones are 90, I was like, oh.
What?
I was like, that's the low, it's like, is that the low ball one? And the other one was like, yeah, these are 110. I'm like, yeah.
The Slimer one cheaper. But the thing was, the Slimer one.
They look pretty dope though. I would buy
it. It was
them.
A different color. That was
no, it's just, it was literally just
Slimer's color. That was it.
Yeah, that was it.
There was no eyes, no like.
Oh, it's just green.
It had the Ghostbusters logo.
A shiny
and that
green.
Was it. But okay. It was literally just neon green shoes.
Which, or like the fat folds that Slimer had.
Okay.
They didn't even have
that.
You know, it was kind of weird. You know, so you go there, there's this huge, I don't know what to call it huge, but there's this grassy area, there's a stage, and as we were walking around, Harold goes, is that Dave Guillet?
Because apparently Dave Guillet, one of the voices in the real Ghostbusters.
From Full House?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow! That's a deep cut, man.
And was it Pinky's voice also?
No, the Brain.
Oh, the Brain.
Royce LaMarche.
No. Shut up. No, that wasn't him.
I told you that.
Oh my god, I thought it was Pinky.
No, I said it's
no.
If it was Pinky, that'd be good too, because Pinky does Yakulin, or he does Wacko's voice.
Yeah.
But Maurice LaMarche is, you know.
I thought he was fatter than that. At least in my head.
Because he does Orson Welles' voice.
Yeah.
So you imagine him being Orson Welles.
I think so.
That's what I think. But we're watching it, and I was like, oh, this is... And then for some reason, Dennis could not fathom that we were staring at Dave Coulier the whole time. And I was like, he looks just like him. He sounds exactly
20
like
years him. Later, he's still the same.
That's the thing. I heard the voice, but as Harold pointed out, maybe it's because he has sunglasses.
He's wearing sunglasses, and that throws Dennis off, you know.
I look at people's eyes, that's why.
And then I was like, trying to yell like, cut it out. Cut it out. And he even did the like, hey, who's that, Bob Saget? And then I was like, I mean, but... It was just, like, we were saying, the most interesting thing about the whole thing is A, that there was that many people
for Ghostbusters for Fest. The Ghostbusters. Okay, yeah.
And it was pretty cool. Like, there were the Ghostbusters dancers.
What?
There was a Ghostbusters. It was an interpretive
dance. like Dana doing ballet, like what's it called, rope, like string ballet or whatever.
Was it Dana as
Zool? No, Dana as Dana, and then Zool came out. In with freaking fire.
It was a fire eater.
She was a fire eater.
Wow.
And a fire dancer.
And so these dancers dressed up as Ghostbusters. They have their proton packs, and they're like miming.
Watch
like
the video on our okay. Watch the video on our Instagram. I'll post it later, or I'll also post it on our Facebook. Yeah, but I took videos. It's.
it was really random because we were like we started watching and it was like and I turned to Harold, is that girl wearing roller skates?
Yeah, and then we're like, ooh, cool. But you know what's funny to me is I was telling Dennis, I was like, okay, Ghostbusters, everybody references obviously the original Ghostbusters, but they started doing the dance to On Our Own by Bobby Brown. And I was like,
from the second movie, yes.
And I was like telling Dennis, I was like, man, I haven't heard this song in years. I have it on my iPod, but I just haven't heard it. And I was like, man, that's awesome. And then we're walking around. I was like, oh, of course, we're hearing On Our Own again. And then we happened to double back, and then they performed again, and we missed the, we missed some of the parts. And I was like, oh, they're going to play On Our Own for the third time. I was just like, great. It's still a great song. And like the choreography is actually pretty good.
Although the second time around, Zool wasn't there.
Yeah, Zool took a break. She was,
It was too hot.
Yeah, there was no more Zool. There was just Dana.
They just cut it short.
Yeah,
Harold was waiting for that one.
I kept waiting for that the whole time. Like it was just, and then my favorite vendor besides my Jamie Foxx sunglasses, which I apparently bought.
Of all the things that he bought.
I bought glasses from, they said it's Jamie Foxx's sunglass company.
And it wasn't even like Ghostbuster brand. No. He could have bought it somewhere. Like, yeah. He could have gone to but the, it was, the it mall.
Was, they were polarized and they were cheap. And I was like, eh. And the
foldable case?
The case is collapsible, which is pretty cool.
Oh, collapsible. Okay.
But wasn't like electro theme?
No, right? Not at all.
Jamie Foxx? Yeah, no. Spider-Man 2?
Sorry. Go
ahead. And then, they had
strand of Katie Holmes' hair.
Oh, no?
Okay.
Just creepy enough.
But, my favorite vendor was the guy who was trying to bring Ecto Cooler back.
Oh, yeah.
Wow! Sorry.
And it was random because it was just some dude sitting at a booth with like Ecto Cooler, and he's like...
There's like five of them.
Yeah.
Like
five little vials. Little, like, not even boxes. Empty boxes, but vials.
I was about to go five, like the little Tetra Paks.
Yes, those. But I was talking to the guy, and I was like, so what's the deal? I was like, do you get to taste these? He's like, nah, man, these have been frozen since like 2016. And I was like,
he unfroze it.
I was like, why did you bring it out, dude?
I was kind of thinking, why do you have to freeze it if you're not going to drink it? You
know? He was just like... Dennis walked away, and then he was just like, yeah, it's that weird tangerine, not quite orange flavor. And I was like, yeah.
Harold had this connection with this guy. It was like a long
lost... I didn't want to leave.
And then a long lost brother.
Because someone loved my love of Ecto Cooler, and I was just like, yeah, this guy knows.
It's just like he's his other friend now.
Yeah, he's like the gatekeeper to your...
It was just pretty cool.
To your heart.
It was on the Sony lot, so it's like we got to see a lot of Sony stuff.
Cobra Kai.
Yeah, there's like a lot of Cobra Kai. Okay. Well, just like advertisements and whatever. There's a giant display of the Amazing Spider-Man's.
Spider-Man's.
And then I was like, hey, Dennis, take a photo. He's like, no. But the thing that I don't know, the thing that made me laugh the most was there's a ton of vehicles of just random franchises, and for some reason the one that I guess because it wasn't a Ghostbusters thing, was there was one of the helmet vehicles from 22 Jump Street. Like one of the things that they crash into the goalpost. And I was like, hey, it's from 22 Jump Street. So if you watch our video, that's the douchebag me just saying, hey, 22 Jump Street.
Well, it was also funny, aside from the 22 Jump Street helmet thing, but there were, I guess, fan like cars and everything. So there was the traditional, like, you know, Ecto-1, but there would be random, you know, random vehicles. What was that, the last one?
There was a Ford Focus.
From where?
Just a regular Ford Focus.
Okay.
the designer painted white, and then they had like the design, like the packs and everything.
And I was like, oh, this is the most pathetic one I've seen. And then actually, the kind of so we're gonna talk about this in a little bit was we kind of intended on just leaving after, you know, experiencing what we experienced, which was pretty cool.
Okay, yeah.
Just
yeah,
because
yeah.
It's different from what we were experiencing, mm-hmm. or we had anticipated. And then I was like,
it was smaller than what we.
Yeah, it's very small.
Okay, yeah. It's a lot, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but like I was telling Dennis, if they ever used that location as a convention, it'd be great. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic venue. But when we were ready to leave, I was like, oh, there's this band that I kind of like, or I've heard that pretty good, called the Flux Capacitors. And I was like, let's wait
nice
until
name.
I was like, let's wait until they play, because they do 80s covers, and they do cover 80s movie songs.
So this lady who Harold bonded with also.
Yeah.
We bonded a lot today.
I'm a big fans, man.
I kind of told Harold, oh, they're going to be playing that, so they're playing soon.
They said they're going to play at 1:30.
1 o'clock was
it? 1 o'clock. And then we're like, oh,
they're on the 12:45. You know, we have time.
15 minutes, yeah.
And then so, that's where
Ray Parker Jr. came in, man.
Wow.
He started.
Actual Ray Parker?
Not the ghost of Ray Parker Jr.
Not the ghost of Ray Parker.
So I guess at 7 o'clock he has a show. But for some reason at 12:45 he was doing his sound check. And so it was like an hour sound check.
Yeah.
And the Flux Capacitor people were kind of like already kind of like mouthing off. And it was hilarious because they were just joking around like, oh my God, how long is this going to take? Uh-huh. But he just kept on going and going and going.
How much sound checking do you need for one
song? That's what we kept on saying.
He has a whole one song in his
head. And then he was doing like a remix of the song. And then he was playing cover. He was doing like Uptown Funk.
Yeah.
And then after that, he was doing the remix of him singing Uptown Funk's and Ghostbusters theme song. And so, like, the bass guy for Flux Capacitors just started trolling. And every time they would, like, be doing their vocal practices, he'd be, like, playing the same notes. And then they were like, okay, they're going on at 1. And they're like, no, we're going to go at 2. And then they were like, oh, since we ran a little long with the sound check, we're going to do they're going to interview Harold Ramis' daughter, who, like, wrote a book or something.
Okay.
By the way, was random. Really sad. Oh. It was, first off, random, but nobody was paying attention to it.
No.
It was kind of sad.
Because after Ray Parker Jr. does his sound check, nobody wants to do anything.
Hashtag, I hate Ray Parker Jr. Like, the whole time, I was boo, boo.
Also, because, like, when we started, we were in the perfect shade, like, for them to play. And then as the thing kept going, was the sun started shifting. And then, like, at first it's getting the lady next to me, and I was like, okay, you guys start performing soon. And then it's like, it's getting on me, and I'm like, okay, I gotta stand up. And then Dennis was like, finally, he's like, oh, my legs starting to burn. So it's like, that's how long we were there for. A good 3 hours of waiting. And then they played, and they were actually pretty good.
2 hours.
Two hours. But when they played, they were actually pretty good. And then
it was a good set. Like, oh, okay, all okay. 80s. Which, by the way, Flux Capacitors, if you ever listen to this, amazing.
Yeah. But we were...
Ray Parker, not so much.
No. We were laughing because the host of the thing, I don't know his name, but he was like, yeah.
Halfway through it was like, amazing. Because this was the most entertaining thing that's happened so far.
Up until that point. Okay.
Because they're really good. Everybody's hyped up. And this host just started going like, oh my God, give it up for Flux Capacitors.
And he was like, yeah, how many more songs are we going to keep doing? And he's like, yeah, let's keep going, more songs. And then the one of the guys was like, yeah, we only got 2 songs left. And he's like, oh, that's so bad. He goes, yeah, if we started at 1 o'clock, we'd have more songs to play. But nobody hears that except for me and Dennis, apparently. And we start busting up.
So just two of you going, ha ha.
And we're like, oh, you got over. Oh, man. I was like, dude. And it was just... Overall, it's pretty interesting. Just kind of like, you know. Luckily for us, only $4 a ticket.
Yeah,
so
not bad.
Only cost me $8, and with
whatever
parking,
gas, yeah,
$20. And I mean, that's we barely spent anything. There's food trucks, no vendors. I mean, they had like the, you know, the mystery boxes, but we weren't, you know.
Yeah,
it was very geared towards some Ghostbusters stuff and then Star Wars stuff, because
I didn't even see any Ghostbusters. It was like there was anime.
There was a Ghostbusters. I don't know what was going to be in that Ghostbusters box for $200, but
whoa, you
know, yeah, exactly. The cheapest one I saw was like it was $30 and it was a super small box. And I was like, ooh, nothing in that box can be worth $30.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's a mystery.
The other...
Ray Parker's finger.
Yes.
So Lou Ferrigno's...
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know.
He's hearing
me. Oh, speaking of which...
It's okay. You won't hear about this.
Speaking of which, I was speaking of Lou Ferrigno, most entertaining conversation I heard, it was a father and a son. And the father's like, look, son, that's Lou Ferrigno. Who's that? He's the original Hulk. And the son goes, is he the one from the first Avengers? And he goes, that's not the same one.
Still not him.
Like, ooh, yikes. Not that old.
He must have been like 9, jeez. So, I'm sorry, I just thought of it right now. But so the guy selling you Ecto Cooler, he wasn't even from Hi-C.
He was just some dude.
He's a fan.
Jeez, dude. Okay, gotta creep it. And as Harold kind of put it out, he even asked, so are you guys...
are you with Nestle?
Are you campaigning to sell it back? And he's just like, no.
He was like, no.
That's about a hell of a lot of them when they came out.
It was just
out.
A guide at a booth day saying, Ecto Cooler, right?
Because I think that's it. Because I think they tried to make a comeback.
They did a couple years ago.
Yeah, when the Lady Ghostbusters came out and they were selling him. Yes, like,
so he bought those things, froze it.
And then just so he could do it today.
Wow.
He bought a booth.
And then speaking of which, what Dennis kind of liked about the whole thing was there was a lot of representation for the female Ghostbusters.
Oh, good. All right, cool.
So kind of surprising.
Yeah.
You know.
I want to say a lot.
Okay, there was more. There was like maybe, more than I expected.
Okay.
Because you figured that this is a 35th for the original.
Yeah.
And you know, mainly because they're women.
Yeah, and I know the fans of the original were I don't know if they're even the most vocal. I think that's for another conversation. We're talking about toxic fandom and like the I think the fans of the original were not the ones who were making fun of.
No, that was just dudes.
Yeah, they're just jerks who couldn't. Bear to stand yeah. women do anything, but anyway, but wow, okay, I gotta ask then, like, do you feel a little were you a little upset or jaded by the fact that you came in there thinking it was going to be a traditional comic book convention and became a Ghostbuster thing instead, or were you just like, it is what it is?
My biggest disappointment was that I had a set amount of money set aside.
Was it $21?
because I even told my daughter, I'm going to get you something from it. And I was looking around desperate. I was like, okay, I need to buy something.
It's like, we saw the Moscow Mule place that there's, I'm not Moscow, but they sell mugs. Where you can get unlimited root beer.
It's the same company that you went to the last time
at the LA Comic Con. Yeah. Okay, right.
Same company.
Yeah, they're still there. Okay, so that's good.
So I could have just borrowed yours
and said, hey, fill her up.
Because there's no merchandising.
Oh, wow. Merchandising. That's rough.
Like, only merchandise. There was one or two. Like, I bought a random, comic book.
Okay.
Yeah. Just because it was such an interesting, sell. Because the lady was like, yeah, you know, we got some characters from the 1940s that was public domain. And
okay.
They decided to make it, to, get these guys and make it into a comic book. I was like, you got me there. Damn it.
Like, that's a win.
All right. That's
great. And the other one was, and I was so tempted, was a Playmobil,
yeah.
I don't know, they made Ghostbuster stuff. And it was a Ecto-1 mm-hmm. with, I think it was Winston and Ray, the characters. Now, if the figures actually looked a little bit better, I would have bought it.
Yeah.
Because the Ecto-1 itself was actually pretty cool.
Oh, okay.
Amazing.
Okay.
Yeah. But the fact that it was just, these Playmobil, figures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, difference. I was telling Dennis, Winston looked way too much like Billy Dee Williams.
And it was very confusing.
And it was throwing me off, and I was just like,
Lando? Was it Ghostbusters?
You're manning the wrong vehicle. You know? And then, as we were leaving, there was like a giant line because Ivan Reitman was there.
Oh, wow.
And his son, who's the one that's directing the new.
Okay, I was about to say, my next question was there anything for the next, because one of the biggest rumors this year is, they're going to come up with a new.
Yeah. So, but they weren't there, they were there doing some meet and greet before, or something beforehand. And then, as we were leaving, as the band was playing, there's just a giant line forming because that's where. And then apparently later tonight, or later on,
Ray Parker Jr.
You're
gonna wrap up the whole thing.
And Ernie Hudson would be there, and Dan Aykroyd would be there.
Wow. So, okay. Okay.
And then they were saying that there was a chance that Bill Murray was already there, but
in the crowd. I mean, that's kind of like the Bill Murray thing. Okay. Are you being serious? Because I thought that was a Bill.
Yeah, it wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah.
But I know he's filming something, so
it's yeah. Bill Murray's got a history of just popping up randomly, so I would not be surprised.
The 35th anniversary for his biggest movie.
If he was in Culver City, just selling hot dogs or something. But I mean, I can see from you, like, you're rocking like a lanyard and stuff. So is Ghost Corpse an actual thing, or is that just for that?
No, it was a thing. They have it's weird because Ghostbusters was never that franchise where I'd imagine it'd be as big as a Star Wars kind of
thing. Like a cult,
yeah. I mean, I get it. People love that movie. I love that movie, but I never. I buy random ticky-tack things regarding the references, but I never would go full on. But we had people here literally you know how they have those, the battalion, the squadrons, the stormtrooper, troops?
Yeah. The cosplayers.
It's different cities and everything.
So it's they had, this one had Arizona Ghostbusters.
Wow.
And it was all these different things.
They had their own different patches. Yeah. It's still Ghostbusters, but different styling because of
different. And then one of the guys, there was one of the vendors was actually a dude trying to sell a modeling kit. To create your own 1/8 scale Ecto-1, which looked super complicated,
even though it kept on saying
easy to build, but every time he would say something, the wind would knock over one of his pieces. it's not that easy, right? But when he was giving out stuff, he was giving out pins and he was giving out patches, and we're like, sign up for this.
We got a pin,
okay.
And hopefully your email address is not lewis@gmail.com because that's what I put.
Jeez, okay. we could have put our fan account just
so that we can have some sort of
some kind of contact with the guy. Well, I put on my regular spam account, so
there you go.
So kind of wrap it up. One of the things that Harold and I were kind of talking about is, as Harold pointed out, the fandom. There's the Star Wars fandom, and Star Wars fans actually dressing up. And as we saw today, turns out that Ghostbusters fans likes to dress up. But the one thing I kind of talked to Harold, and I don't know if this is a sensitive subject, maybe we shouldn't talk about it, but I kind of wanted to ask, in your opinion, which fandom is not the most inclusive, but the easiest to dress up for and cosplay for? Because I have to tell you, this is the most varied and most what's another word for varied here?
Diverse.
There you go. Thank you. It was the most diverse fandom ever. There was tall people, short people.
Oh, okay.
Every single nationality. Some people were disabled. Some people were, had all these things. And it was just cool to see that. So there were some really skinny, African American dudes. They were huge, Asian men, but they're still wearing the same
jumper.
They had the packs and everything,
and they had their names on the front.
Yeah, and I was like, in a way, I was kind of joking around, man. It's kind of easy to cosplay as a Ghostbusters.
Actually, you're right. Yeah.
But it's amazing that you had, and I think that's what made it even better. The only time I've ever seen this many people dress up for the occasion was when I went to the Renaissance Fair. That's how many people.
A different convention.
So, I don't know. What's the most forgiving? Because if you think about it, anime...
Animes, you got to be sticklers to it. Yeah, if you're not 100% like it, what are you even trying to do? And yeah, Star Wars, obviously, like you mentioned, that's pretty tough. I mean, I think... I'm a total casual Star Trek fan, but correct me if I'm wrong, and please don't lunge at me, but you could probably pull off being a red shirt or doing that kind of I'm this character from one of these series. But I like that idea. You really just need the patch with your last name, red font, and a black background. Yeah.
Sort of jumper somewhere.
Yeah, some kind of jumper. And that's, you can jimmy your own proton pack out of whatever is around there.
That's what was kind of great, was a super all-inclusive.
Okay, that's
cool. Not inclusive as in, all of a sudden you get, free drinks and everything, but inclusive as in, the community was very welcoming.
That's cool.
That's kind of one of the things that was kind of like, when we got there, I was like, okay, this isn't the convention, obviously, we expected, but everybody was so... Yeah, it's a convention-ole. But, the fans there were very, hey, you know, like when there were these little kids that were doing a trivia contest, they were like, oh, we don't know their last names. People would be like, this is their last name, so you can win a free prize. And I was
that's cool.
I was like, you know, at another convention, they'd be like, don't say anything so I can get it, you know?
Yeah, it was like... Star Wars convention, like, oh, you don't know the act part? Yeah,
and it's like, they were more... Like, I think the people there kind of understood that, like a lot of people, like, there was a couple of people there who dressed up fully like a regular comic convention. Like, there was a really bad Chewbacca. Dennis's favorite was this guy that looked like half the Beetlejuice and half the Joker. So I called him the Beetle Joker.
I don't know if it was half. It was just like, it was a terrible one or the other.
Was it just so hot the makeup was melting?
It was like
That's my other concern. You're wearing jumpers at like, it was 90 degrees out there today.
At a certain point, there were people with, they had taken off the top, or like, they kind of rolled up the top.
Oh. Yeah, there was a lot of like, guys who just looked like they were doing sanitary work. They stopped because like, they couldn't hold the front of vacs anymore. And I was like, this is a bad day, guys. Like,
there was a couple dudes
where there's not like, enough shade for this. Yeah.
They took off their proton packs, and you can see like the sweat.
Oh, the sweat.
Oh, like maybe they should have turned the ones that if they just turned the proton pack around and it just made it a fan, like a mobile fan. It would work a lot better.
That'd be great.
But like, you know, when we were talking about this before, it was like, who knew that there was a venue for conventions like this? I mean. Yeah, maybe it's a special anniversary and whatnot, but there were people who had been waiting for this event.
Wow.
Whereas us, we just happened to stumble upon it.
Yeah.
Okay? And still able to enjoy ourselves because, you know, who goes to an event and be like, this isn't what I wanted. I'm not going to like it. Yeah. Automatically, you know how the three of us are, even if you had been there, we'd be like, okay, this is the situation we're in. Let's accept it and let's have fun with it. And, but you could just tell other people literally, they just walked in and there's like, this isn't it. And I'm out of here.
Oh, that's too bad.
And it's okay. Like, yeah, you know, that's great, but you're missing out on a great property.
Yeah.
So luckily for us, it's a property that we're both familiar with. So we're able to enjoy, like, you know, little things. Like when we saw, they had their own, headquarters.
Like, oh, yeah. Like the firehouse?
Like
yeah.
A facade of the firehouse.
Okay.
Like, I was like, oh, cool. So, you know, I had to take a picture of that. So.
That's nice.
Yeah. Overall, I think it was a great, you know, experience. As we said, it wasn't the typical one, but I think
you know what? It was kind of fun that way. Also, yeah. Because not to be negative about our experiences there, but yeah, you know conventions tend to be the same.
Yeah.
And you run into the same things. That's why I was like, okay, I'm taking out X amount of money because this is what I'm going to spend on, like Dennis said, like on merchandise. But I'm just kind of the douchebag where it's like, okay, I'm not spending my money on like any merchandise, so I'm just gonna buy something so I can say that I, you know, did something over
there.
So you bought sunglasses.
So I bought sunglasses
from Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx.
Not Jamie Foxx himself, but from
no. There was just some lady who was still setting up, and I was like, hey, what's that? And I was like, I'll be back.
Exactly like that, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. So, and then when I came back, she was like, oh, he's been here before. And I was like, oh, damn it.
They got me. So that is it for, at least for today. I know for a fact that this is the start of the convention season.
Yeah, you
know?
You're right.
So hopefully we're going to be able to get to other things. I truly doubt we're going to be able to get all three of us to the San Diego Comic Con. But yeah, who knows? Yeah. Maybe down the line, we'll be able to do other things.
Yeah, because I know, I mean, for those who can afford it, E3, like I mentioned earlier, is happening week of June 12, 13, and 14. I think it used
which
to
you're
be
gone at that point.
Tuesday. Oh no, yeah, Thursday I'll be gone. Yeah, but you know, unfortunately, can't make it. But yeah, if hopefully you guys can make that, Anime Expo is coming up the first weekend of July. Comic Con itself is.
I'm gonna be gone at that point.
Oh, you're gonna. Jeez. Comic Con.
By the way, these
is
guys are leaving
July.
The country.
So Harold's gonna be.
So we have a lot of stock episodes coming up soon. Yeah. But if you guys just want someone to do some live commentary, I'm stuck in America for the next.
Stuck in America. Oh, first world problem.
Literally first world. Oh no, I got Wi-Fi that works perfectly.
Oh no, you have running water.
Oh, air conditioning. God forbid.
You have air conditioning at your place. What are you talking about?
Oh, come on. Philippines are here. Oh, Philippines is gonna be so humid. So
wait,
good.
Can't wait for that air conditioning and Jollibee.
Hey, your skin is going to be amazing, bro.
Yeah, dude. My ashy elbow's gone.
Get some Escanol on this bad boy.
No, and your dandruff.
Yeah. Gone.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
And you come back to America and bam,
it's
back.
Like, oh, it's all back.
Everything just goes flaky.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Okay. So that's it for us today. I hope you enjoyed our episode. As usual, if you want to get a hold of us, we do have a lot of interweb stuff. For me, it's twofanboys1casual.com. It is our website with all our old episodes and a spattering of some articles.
On Facebook, Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. Just put that in the search bar. Every time the podcast goes live, we'll post it there. Any fun articles or any news that comes across fan-worthy, we'll let you know there too. And actually from now on, maybe we'll start posting these kind of fun events that Harold and myself came across, and maybe you guys can meet us up there and go from there. And again, every week I want to say thank you to all the people who comment on the post. Every so often we get a few spatterings of agreements, fun little debates. Keep it up. We love interacting with our followers and our fans, and it keeps the job a little easier to do.
Say spattering.
Bear wins.
Huh? A spattering?
I don't know why. I rarely hear that word.
Yes.
Oh, I'm a linguist. Very cunning at it.
Nah, geez.
It's kind of like Ghostbusters. You spatter a little bit.
Yeah, I was But also on Instagram and on Twitter, Two Fanboys, One Casual. If you had been following us on either, or at least on our Instagram account, you'd be able to see some of the footage that we had taken on our Instagram stories. I'll put it up on our Facebook page as well, just so you guys can experience a little bit of what we were able to experience today.
That's it for us today. Hopefully you enjoyed our episode. As usual, this is Dennis.
Lewis.
Zool.
Ray Parker.
Hashtag I hate Ray Parker.
He got one song.
So if Tom Holland and Ray Parker Jr. were in the same room.
Ray Holland Jr.
And you had one bullet, Dennis.